Welcome to NHL Draft Class. Adam Kimmelman here. Mike Morial in his little coffee shop he calls a home. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing very well, Adam. And you know what? You know why I'm doing so well? You know why? Because I found a new coffee blend this weekend. The Pond Hockey Blend. It's a medium roast created from the beans from Brazil and Guatemala. And the best part about it, the label reads, a perfect blend for a day with some friends on any of New England's frozen lakes. So sharpen your skates, grab your sticks and coffee, and head to the pond. You in, Adam? You're in, right? You're in.
Well, you know, when I think pond hockey, the first thing I think of is Brazil and Guatemala. Absolutely. I'm sure it tastes like the most wonderful pond water you can find in
it is
anywhere
good.
You go.
You don't know what you're missing. It's excellent. Excellent.
I'll take your word for it.
But hey, look, and I know someone that loves coffee too is John Williams of NHL Central Scouting. he's the Western Hockey League, scouting expert over there, along with Peter Sullivan, and we have him on the show today. We're looking forward to a real good show here with John.
Yeah, John's going to take us through some of the top guys in the Western Hockey League. You can also check out some of our previous shows to check out some of the guys from, you know, the rest of the list. You know, we had Dan Marr on our last show, and he talked the overarching Central Scouting rankings, which came out recently. You know, Greg Rajanin, who scouts the USHL for Central Scouting, talked some of the guys in that league. We had Goran Stube on to talk about some of the top European players. And if you go back even further, you can hear from some of the top players available in this year's draft, ranging from Owen Power, who likely is going to go number one, Matthew Coronato from the Chicago Steel, the United States Hockey League, Brant Clark from Barrie, who's one of the top defensemen. The list goes on and on. So we're going to get to John Williams now, and he's going to talk about some of the top guys from the Western League. John, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class. How are things in your end of the world?
Things are great, actually. I'm out here in beautiful British Columbia, and weather's decent for us, I guess, and we're starting to open things up out here, and things are looking good.
You've had the chance to see a lot of the guys with the Western Hockey League season starting in February, but I want to talk about Dylan Gunther. Now, he was going to be a name that was high on your list last season after being a point-per-game player for the Edmonton Oil Kings. But this season, 12 goals, 12 assists in 12 games, 8 multi-point games, just 4 games without a point. What makes him such a dynamic offensive force? And is there anyone that he reminds you of in the NHL?
Yeah, I think, well, for me, what he has a lot of tools that make him such a great player and potentially a great player in the NHL because he's got good size. He's a very good skater. He's got great separation speed, great stride. He can pull away from people, protects the puck well, with his body. Has a very high hockey IQ for me. And I think you saw that probably at the under-18s when they used him. Like, he's an excellent penalty killer. And usually coaches put guys in those positions because they do have some skill, but they can also think the game very well. And I think he showed that he's an excellent penalty killer. He can score. He can make plays. I think he's deceptive in terms of how good of a playmaker he is because people just expect him to score. But when that's taken away from him, he can make plays in tight areas. And, you know, like, this is something that Mike asks me quite often is to compare players. It's not one of my favorite things to do, but I kind of get like a Max Pacioretty sort of thing from him. Like, he's similar size kid. He's not, Max is a lot stronger, but, I think he's got sort of that kind of a potential.
John, can you, switching to defense here a little bit in the dub, can you explain to us the similarities and maybe the biggest differences you see between the play of lefty defenseman Carson Lambos of Winnipeg in the dub and right-handed D-man Carson Kuhlemans of Brooks in the Alberta Junior Hockey League?
Yeah, I think for me, it's been like Carson Lambos came into the league as a 15-year-old, you know, how things work out here in the Western League. They draft a year earlier than the other junior leagues. And he stepped in from the get-go, played his limited number of games. He can play as a 15-year-old. As a 16-year-old, he's the top pair guy. Power play, penalty kill, plays big minutes. he's got a very mature game and a very calm and like kind of a, like a commanding presence on the ice. He's a presence on the ice because he can control the tempo of the game. He does a lot of things like that. Whereas Suleiman's is his game. I think he's got not quite the maturity in his game at this stage. He was a little, I think, in Brooks, he was kind of, in my opinion anyway, like he'd outgrown that level a little bit and would have some nights where he probably wasn't quite as dialed in. But when he's in that situation with Team Canada at the under 18, the year before he played in the under 17 and also in the World Junior A Challenge, he's very good at that level and given a specific role, and he can execute it very well. So I think he's got a real high end to his game if things work out for him. And I think, you know, he's going to a great program in Wisconsin. So I think, you know, he's got a good top end. But at this stage of the game, I would say Lambos is a little bit more firm and a little bit more mature in his game.
Hey, John, is Lambos, do you think, a future top pairing in the NHL?
Yeah, I think, like, he's got that kind of potential. He's probably more the complementary. He's the guy to play with the, you know, like a Cale Makar or somebody like that, because of he's always in the right place. He defends well. He's very smart. He's good offensively. I think he's very good offensively in the Western League. But I don't think he's got that dynamic quality. So I think he's probably in that sort of range, 2-3 kind of a guy.
Yeah. Perfect. So center Cole Sillinger, he was named USHL yep. Rookie of the Year with Sioux Falls, scored 24 goals, 46 points in 31 games. What did you think about the decision by Cole, who's number 10 in the North American ranks by Central, to play in the USHL this season? And how much do you think that maybe benefited him for this draft?
Well, I think I'm not somebody that would ever question a kid's decision on what they want to do. Like, I think sometimes, as you know, in hockey, kids need to be selfish sometimes and do what's best for them. Like, especially in terms of injuries, and you know, it's sort of the culture of hockey that you play through pain. That I understand that, and that's something that everybody does, but you have to do what's best for you. And I think with Cole, he had the opportunity to do it, and because he's a dual citizen and was able to go down there. And at the time, like, the Western League wasn't going to, there was no definitive plan that they were going to play. And, you know, as we saw in Ontario, that they never did play. So I think he really proved I think it worked out really well for him. I think he proved maybe some people thought that, you know, he would have had it easy in the Western League or whatever, because he's, you know, he's second year guy and all that. Going into Sioux Falls, where he was put in a position, he played more center there than, like, in Medicine Hat, he plays the wing, and he scored. And as anybody that watches the USHL knows, it's a hard league to score in. And especially as a 17-year-old, I think he really proved that this guy's an elite goal scorer. He's, again, another very smart player that can play on both sides. You know, obviously his dad was a great pro in that way. Like, his, you know, his details of the game were very good. And I think he's got some of that. And I think he's, he helped himself, I think, for sure.
John, Logan Stankoven from Kamloops had a nice season, 7 goals, 10 points in 6 games, really stood out for Canada at the under 18 with 8 points in 7 games. What did you see from Logan when you got to watch him this season, and how much did his play at the under 18s raise his stock, you think, in the eyes of NHL teams?
Well, I think with Logan's been a good player, you know, a very good player since he stepped into the Western League. Like, he's just one of those guys that, you know, from the get-go, things were running through him offensively. He's a very gifted offensive player, very smart, you know, and he's worked at his game. You can tell that his skating has improved, because his skating was a little bit of a question mark coming into this season, and he's improved in that area. And I think when you play at an event like, you know, the under 18s, I think you show guys that you can play at a higher pace. And that pace, you know, is pretty quick in some of those games, you know, in that event. And he showed that he can play at that pace. And that was, I think some guys had a little bit of a concern with that. I felt that going into this season in a quote unquote normal year, you know, he was the type of guy that could potentially be a candidate to play on Canada's World Junior team, because he probably would have been one of the league, if not leading the league in scoring by, you know, Christmas time. He's a very good player. He's very smart. And, you know, I think at that under 18, he just showed to everybody that he deserves to be in that consideration.
So, John, one player I'm really curious about, he's number 19 on Central's North American ranks, 6'4", 196-pound Saskatoon center, Colton Dock, obviously the brother of Blackhawk center Kirby Dock. Does he possess the same skills, toughness in the trenches? What do you have on Colton?
Well, Colton, at this stage of his development, isn't where Kirby was. Like, Kirby was an elite player coming into the Western League. Like, you know, kind of similar to what Gunther did, you know, as stepping in as a 16-year-old. Whereas Colton, he was coming into this year, you know, we weren't really sure what he was going to do. And obviously he's worked at another guy that's worked at his game. He's a big, strong kid, and he just got better and better and better over the course of the year. And towards the end of the year, they had their top center got injured, so he moved into the middle, and he proved that he can play center. He can be a big center, or he can play sort of the power game. He's got very good hands. He can make plays. He played his off wing, most of the time, and showed that he can handle that, which is not an easy thing for a young player to do. So he's got some similarities to his brother, I would say, but at this stage of the game, he's not quite where Kirby is or was.
John, I know goalies maybe necessarily aren't your specialty, but I got to ask you about Sebastian Cosa from the Edmonton Oil Kings. 6'6" mm-hmm. with the quickness and the athleticism, you know, that checks the boxes for what NHL teams are looking for. When you've seen him, could he be a candidate to go in the first round? I mean, I know teams can be hesitant to go goalie in the first round, but is Casa a player that would be worth that gamble?
I think so. Like, this guy, I watched him online. I watched him live, and saw him last year as well. And, you know, when I'm thinking about this, you look at the final four teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the starting goalies on each of those teams was a first round pick. So I know teams can be hesitant to do it, but I think this guy, with his size, his athleticism, I think he's got the chance to be a number one, you know, and a franchise type goalie. I think people are seeing now, like you see with Knight in Florida, that a young goalie after, you know, 2 or 3 years out from being drafted can actually step in and play. Whereas before, you know, the conventional thinking was that, you know, you're 5 to 7 years away from one of these guys playing. But I think with his size and his strength and his athletic ability, and he's a very competitive type of goalie, like he's very dialed in when he's playing. And I think he can be one of those guys in that conversation in a couple of years.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, John. Two goalies going in the first round could be the first time since 2012. Vasilevsky, Subban in that draft. So, but Kosa's just, I mean, the numbers he's putting up the past two seasons in Edmonton have been outstanding. So I totally agree with you. But I'm curious, John, can you maybe give us one or two WHL players who maybe might not be getting the recognition you feel they deserve, and maybe they could turn out to become solid NHL contributors one day?
I think this year of all years, there's a lot of them. Because of the short season, you know, and it was such a strange year because there's lots of players that, you know, are first year players in the Western League, for instance. So you don't really know a lot about them, maybe haven't seen them because they're coming out of, you know, a midget program or whatever. And, you know, they have such a short runway to show what they can do. So it's going to be a bit of a gamble, but there's some kids that went through the draft last year, like Simon Knack in Portland, had a great year. I thought he should have been drafted last year. I was surprised he wasn't, but he proved this year that he's a legitimate draft. I think this year led Portland in scoring or in goals, you know, and played on a team that has Seth Jarvis. Didn't play with Seth other than on the power play, but he led them in goals. The Edmonton Oil Kings actually have a few of these kinds of guys. Carson Latimer is the kid that's a first-year player there who got an opportunity to play more when, you know, Gunther left to go to the under-18s and moved up the lineup. And he's a kid that seems to be what they have there, guys who can really skate. And they've got another kid there that went through the draft, Jalen Lupin, another kid. Like, they can both really fly. And I think they can generate some offense. I think Jalen was one of the leading scorers in their pod. They both play with a lot of speed and with a lot of competitiveness. Like, they're on the puck, they're physical, they're kind of ratty guys. They're both determined types of players. So there's, but I mean, you could spend an hour here and just name pretty well every guy that's in the Western League that, is a first year player. Like, there's going to be all kinds of these kinds of guys that are going to show up, I think, down the road.
Great stuff there, John. It just to finish it up here, just a little bit of a look ahead, John. And I know it's a player that you've watched closely, despite the fact he's not eligible until the 2023 NHL draft, which is 2 years away. But I have to ask you about Regina right-handed center Connor Bedard, 15 years old, was named WHL Rookie of the Year after scoring 28 points, 12 goals in 15 games. Joined Canada at the U18s, helped them win a gold, 7 goals, 14 points in 7 games there. Played in Sweden to begin the season on loan. I know you're very careful when declaring a player as generational. I think we all are. But do you think Bedard maybe has that chance to be that generational type player after he goes in the 23 draft?
Well, he's done everything and more that you could ask of a player. Like, he's the first player in the Western League that's ever been given exceptional status, and he's shown, you know, that he is deserving of that, you know, designation. And watching him, you know, I watched him online, and then I went to Regina and I watched a couple of games there, and I was texting with one of my buddies about, you know, he doesn't seem like he's really going tonight. Like, he's got a couple of assists. Oh, no, now he's got a goal. Oh, now he's got another goal. Like, he had, you know, I was thinking, like, he's not really playing as well as I'd seen him, but he had 2 goals and 2 assists, you know, like, and he's just, and that goal that he scored against the Russians in the gold medal game, like, coming over like a backhand from a high slot or whatever, like, it was ridiculous. And so this guy is worth the price of admission. You know, like, he's one of those players that you just love to watch him play anytime you get a chance to. And, you know, I think he has that term, like, he's a very determined type of player that wants to be the best. And every situation that he's gone into, it takes him, like, I think it was Canada, it took him a little bit to adjust to the speed of it, but once he got it figured out, he was, you know, one of the best players there. So I think he's got a chance to just be, you know, a superstar in the NHL down the road.
Hey, Adam, you know what I like about that response? If you listen to it, he never did say, yes, this is a generational player. And that's the sign of a true scout.
Wow,
that's the sign of a true scout. He's not willing to give in just yet. Right.
That's right. You know what? Hey, that's just smart. That's just right. That's smart right there.
Well, this is being recorded, right? I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be that guy.
That's how you deal with things. Well, John, thank you very much for coming on NHL Draft Class with us today.
It was a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to John Williams from NHL Central Scouting for joining us. Mike, a lot of good stuff there. What, you know, John knows these guys inside and out. What about some of the things that he said about these guys really stood out to you?
Yeah, well, you know, 57 WHL players were named to Central Scouting's final rankings for the 21 draft. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, in addition to Dylan Gunther, the question you asked John about, Adam, among the 19, the top 19 North Americans, you know, Cole Sillinger is in that mix. He plays for Medicine Hat, but of course went to the USHL this season to play. Defenseman Carson Lambos and forward Colton Dock. Sillinger is a player, I think, and I totally agree with what John had said, that, you know, you got to give the kid credit. You know, Medicine Hat was in a situation there. You weren't sure when the WHL was going to begin. So he and his family decided to, you know, they got that dual citizenship. So why not try the USHL and play there and, you know, get sharp, get some of the rust out. And he did just that. I thought Sillinger played fantastic in the USHL this year. I think he got the attention of a lot of scouts with his ability and what he was able to do as a center. So credit to Cole Sillinger and exactly what John Williams had told us that, you know, if you have an opportunity to play, that's the best way to promote your skills and showcase what you're able to do. And I think because of that, obviously Sillinger, you know, came out on top and is a number 10 with the number 10 ranking here in the poll for North Americans. So a credit to him.
To me, it's Sebastian Casa, the goalie. We could have two goalies in the first round for the first time since 2012, right?
Yep, 2012.
You know, and Casa, you know, he checks all the boxes with a size, 6'6", 213 pounds. You know, teams look for big goalies now. 17-1-1 with a 1.57 goals against and a 941 save percentage, four shutouts in 19 games in the Western League. But what really kind of sent the message home was the fact that the four goalies still playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs were all first-round picks. And there has been that, you know, hesitancy from teams to about taking a goalie in the first round. Now, we've talked about Jesper Wallstedt from Luleå in Sweden going in the first round. Could this be the year that we get two goalies in the first round? Sebastian Casa certainly looks like a guy who could go in that, you know, 20 to 31 range.
Absolutely. And we could have three goalies, Adam. And I think I mentioned it in a previous recording that we did for NHL draft class that, you know, Benjamin Gaudreau from Sarnia in the Ontario Hockey League, he was outstanding at the World Under-18s for Canada, went 5-0. A sub 2.00 goals against was outstanding. You know, he could go among these top 31 picks in the first round as well. So I totally agree with you. I agree with John. You know, I would expect to see two goalies, no doubt about it, in the first round this year. I think possibly three, though, as well.
Well, that's going to be interesting. And you know, the draft is, we're getting close, about 6.5 weeks away from the draft, July 23rd and 24th. So if you want to start learning, cramming at this point, you know, because we're close to final exams here, if you want to start learning more about the top players in the 2021 draft, the best thing you can do is go back and check out some of the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We've got all the top scouts. We had Dan Marr, the director of Central Scouting, to talk about the final rankings. We had Greg Rajanin on to talk about some of the top players in the United States Hockey League, the NCAA Hockey. We had Goran Stubon for the top European players. You know, we've had a lot of the top guys that you're going to be hearing about in the NHL for a number of years going forward. So now is the time to start. If you want to crack a book, so to speak, crack open your podcast player and start downloading old episodes of NHL Draft Class.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, in addition to those episodes, which are fantastic, and they seem to just carry us through the entire season, no matter when you play them, Adam, right? There's always some content there that fans can pick up on particular players, teams, players coming up in the rankings, and maybe those dark horse players as well. But coming up, we have some real good episodes too. And we look forward to speaking to all the scouts and the evaluators at NHL Central Scouting, as we have done in the past, moving forward, particularly this year, right, Adam, when there's so much uncertainty where players might fall in this draft. You're looking for all the best knowledge you can get. And, you know, for an organization like NHL Central Scouting that works for the NHL member clubs, you can't pick or go to the exact source of where you need to get that information. So, you know, we're fortunate to have that opportunity. And it's been great getting the scouts on.
Yeah, we look forward to talking to them, and we look forward to you enjoying listening to them. So if you like the show, please leave us a review. Tell us what you think. And as for now, Mike, NHL draft class is dismissed.